Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to a special online event today called The Mysteries of Past Life Exploration. Unlock your ability to heal and awaken by discovering your soul's journey. My name is Stephen Dynan. I'm the founder and CEO of The Shift Network, and I'm really delighted to be hosting today because we get to explore into some of the more advanced spiritual terrain available. We also get a chance to dive deeper with a remarkable woman who is a renowned author, psychologist, and regression therapist, Dr. Linda Bachman. She really helps us navigate this more esoteric terrain and really distill out the important golden nuggets for us on our path of growth and development. She's been a licensed psychologist in private practice for nearly 40 years. She's trained in numerous traditional and non-traditional techniques from hypnotherapy, between-life soul regression, and life regression therapy, and shamanic soul retrieval. And she's really helped us map this terrain of past lives and between lives and also apply it to how do we live our daily lives now and how do we take action that cleans up our karma and fulfills our dharma. So really delighted to be hosting you today. Linda, welcome.
Thank you, Stephen. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to let everybody know right up front that we'll have this hour with Linda, and we're going to mine as much gold as we can, and we also have a chance to go much deeper in a very cool, advanced new program that we're launching with her called the Soul Evolution Intensive. It's going to be a very experiential exploration of this terrain and really allow you to take it to the next level. We'll hear a bit more about that towards the end. So, Linda, let's begin a bit with, Let's start on a more advanced note. You know, I feel that we've had a lot of excitement for this call. We have 7,000 or 8,000 people signed up. It's clear that there's a hunger out there to not just address the reality of past lives, because I think, frankly, a lot of people are already there. They've had their own direct experiences. They've read the literature. For them, past lives are a reality. So as we build on this, where do we go from here? How do we begin to turn this into knowledge and practice that really helps us advance on our path? So maybe you could start a bit with your own journey into some of this terrain, and then let's build from there.
Well, my journey, which I'll just put in a nutshell, Stephen, is that about 24 years ago, this terrain was completely new to me, and I fell into it through the death of a close colleague. I didn't know much, if anything, about reincarnation, and when my colleague passed, I was in my middle, moving into my later 40s, actually. When my colleague passed, suddenly I felt his presence, I felt him speaking to me, and very surprising to me, I began to sense images of scenes of past lives. Somehow I knew they were past lives, and he was a part of those scenes and that life. So I thought, well, either this is really, really crazy, or it's very, very real. And I'll just say very briefly, because it was wonderful support for me, I turned to my husband, who had been my husband for many years at that point, and I said, you can tell me that you think I'm a little bit crazy, but here's what's happening for me. And even though we're very, very sad, my husband, of course, knew my colleague well, and I told my husband exactly what was happening for me. He looked at me calmly. I said, don't you think this is crazy? He said, no. And basically he said, well, I guess I completely had forgotten about what happened to me as a child. But as a child, he said, I spontaneously remembered my past lives in detail, but I never told anyone because I thought they would think I was crazy. So with that, Stephen, I just decided to go for it. There was a part of me that thought, well, you know, psychologists don't do this kind of thing, and, you know, people will think I'm not credible. But I couldn't help myself. I was fascinated. I was passionate. And quite honestly, I know now that I really believe it was part of my life plan and I was being guided. So I started reading everything that I could put my hands on. What was important to me was to read as much grounded material as I could. And as I did, I became more and more sure it was the direction I wanted my work life to go in. So to make a very long story of 24 years short, initially I learned how to guide past life regression, and I began to guide that minimally in my practice. And as I found that people really were able to access details of past lives and past lives that had a clear connection to their current life, then I became more and more comfortable and, you know, not quite so skittish about, you know, what other professionals think I was a little bit, you know, sort of off. Then I learned how to guide between lives regression. I studied with someone who wrote some of the initial books about working at the soul level, Dr. Michael Newton. I worked with Michael for about 5 or 6 years, and then I went off on my own. And I find that clients are, they find great benefit to understand themselves in a much deeper fashion about past lives, the soul, how we plan our lives, and more that we'll talk about today.
Let's give an example of somebody that, you know, if was working with a challenge or an issue in a more traditional psychological framework, that then when they really opened to a past life context for it, it really opened a whole new understanding and helped them shift it.
Well, it's a perfect question, because just today, a session that I think is a really clear example comes to mind. It's a client I literally worked with earlier today. So this is a woman. She's in her 40s. She is a lovely, balanced woman. She has 3 children under the age of 17. And her friends and her family keep saying, well, you know, don't you want to go in a new direction? You've had a part-time job. You know, you don't love it, but that's what you do. And her answer to them and to herself is, no, I need to care for my 3 children. My family is crucial to me. These children, and even though her children are getting, I mean, they're still in the home, so they're not out of the home. She was confused about, why am I so focused on offering opportunities and continuing to be very much oriented toward my home, my husband, my children, and my family? Well, lo and behold, in the past life that came forward this morning, and it was profound for her and in some ways profound for me too, she was a music teacher. I'm working out of the country right now. She was a music teacher in the country where I am. She was a music teacher during the time of World War II and during the time of the Holocaust. And these children that, and she was a man, and I'm sure people listening know we've been men, we've been women, even though, you know, we may be opposite gender today. She was a male music teacher, no family, no romantic involvement. Her joy was teaching the children. The children were taken, this probably won't surprise listeners, they were taken one day by the Nazis. And as a music teacher, she was basically imprisoned. She felt, even though it was certainly not her fault, she wasn't culpable, she had no idea why children in life today made so much difference to her. She was carrying guilt over these children being taken. Of course, it wasn't literally her fault, but she needed that key in the lock to understand, so why am I passionate about caring for my children, my children's friends? And so there you have it. You know, she had a clear explanation.
Well, kind of also is it, yeah, it's fascinating to see the pattern of our life now and how it might be the expression of these deeper currents. And so maybe share just a little bit your understanding after doing thousands of regressions and working with all these people, just your understanding of karma works and how we're actually designing our current lives as a way to work through or resolve different patterns.
Okay. Okay, well, I have discovered through my work, and I'll just say that the information that I share isn't something I pulled out of the air. It's information that basically has come, you know, client by client by client, and where there's overlap and sort of corroboration of one client session to another. What I understand is that as a soul, essentially, we are required to go to school. And we're required to evolve. It's just like children, most children in most states in the United States, most countries, must go to school until a certain age. So as a soul, we're required to go to, you might say, soul school. But soul school basically happens when we are incarnate. Soul school does not, for the most part, does not happen in the spiritual realm or at the soul level. So we come into body, we create a life plan for each life. But we, at the same time, we have free will when we come into body. We're human when we come into body. We make mistakes or we gather karma. We gather missteps, make choices that aren't the best choices. And then we gather karma. That karma is, as we evolve lifetime to lifetime, that karma must be balanced, must be released. We're given many, almost, you know, sort of ad nauseum number of lifetimes to balance, to release and balance karma. So our karma is almost like the spelling test that we took last week, where we needed to get 9 out of 10 words correct, and we got 6 or 7 of 10 words correct. So our guides and at our soul level, we simply are given the opportunity to continue balancing that karma. So the client that I spoke about a moment ago, she didn't do anything wrong as that man, but in life today, she's balancing that karma that she believes the mistakes she made, and she's being a very committed mother and also friend to other people's children. So so karma essentially must be resolved, and we're given plenty of time to resolve karma.
And how does this connect with the concept of dharma then?
So dharma, it's interesting, as you probably know, Stephen. Karma is a word that most people understand. Most people sort of have a sense of what that means. And I'll just say just quickly, oftentimes people take karma, in my opinion, a little too literally. They think that karma means, well, if I harmed you in a past life, you're going to harm me. I don't find it's quite that literal. It's if I did something that wasn't, you know, of the highest integrity in a past life, I need to balance that, but I don't necessarily have to release that and redo that behavior with exactly that same person. Perhaps with that person, but that's not essential. We also gather dharma as we move through our lives. And the word dharma basically means soul intention. So in our past lives, our dharma is what intentions in our past lives did we satisfy, did we accomplish? Often when I guide a client in a past life regression, that clients often worry about, the client might say, well, I don't want to learn what I did wrong. And I say, well, no matter what you learn, you have the opportunity to alter that behavior in life today. And also, you may learn about what you accomplished in the past, because in life today, you simply don't give yourself sufficient credit for having accomplished a satisfactory romantic relationship, a satisfactory life of work where you enjoy what you do. So sometimes clients in past lives, when I guide them, they access a past life that is dharmic.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And how does this connect with the who we incarnate? It's interesting, the example you gave that she was she had been incarnating with the same constellation of people. So how does this connect with the who we're incarnating with?
Well, I think there are many clients that find that piece very interesting. So as a soul, I like to call it soul home room. So as a soul, when we begin the initiation of our soul's journey, and maybe I'll just, for the sake of perhaps interest for the listeners, let me back up just an extra step. What I've learned from clients is that when we're a soul that has never incarnated, when where we might call, you know, a baby soul, it's almost a little bit like a marsupial. If you think about the marsupial baby, the kangaroo baby that comes out and crawls into the mommy's pouch. So as a soul, we have a bit of a marsupial time in the spiritual realm. There's almost what you might call a soul nursery, where souls are prepared to incarnate. Then the step that you referred to a minute ago, Stephen, then as a soul, we belong to a small group of souls. You might call it your soul pod or your soul homeroom. It's usually approximately 8 to 15 souls that you incarnate with the most often. So those are the souls you end up knowing, you might say the most intimately, because you incarnate with them more frequently than any other soul. Then there are immediately adjacent soul pods that make up more of a conglomerate group. Those adjacent pods are the second level of familiarity or repetitive lives. So in the regression work that I've guided, and will be working on this in the intensive soul evolution course, we'll be talking about how do you begin to figure out who is in your soul pod, even without a regression.
Mm-hmm. That's a fascinating question. Well, I know there's so much terrain that we want to explore. Let's dive into some other areas. Like you have this, we wrote on the page today about exploring what is your immortal soul archetype. That's something that I think a lot of people are not familiar with, and that there's a way in which we have similar patterns as a soul from lifetime to lifetime.
Yes. Yeah, so what I've learned again through client material is that our soul, we might say our immortal soul, our obviously permanent soul energy, has a backbone or an archetype or a style or a nature. There are 7 different possibilities. And when we know our soul archetype that is unchanging lifetime to lifetime, then we understand why we are oriented a certain way. There are 7 soul archetypes. If you combine the 7 soul archetypes as a sort of an energetic, not an entity, because it's not like a particular soul entity, but it is the energy of the higher realm. So if we think about taking the energy of the highest level of spirit, highest level of spiritual energy, no matter what you want to call it, you can call it God, the Tao, Great Spirit, the Source. If you take that energy and you subdivide it into 7 equal and equally important parts, you have the 7 soul archetypes. Each of us is one of those 7. And the purpose for having the 7 soul archetypes is that when we incarnate on Earth, we bring the combined energy of the higher realm to Earth in order, simplistic way to say it, is in order to move Earth forward. But the benefit for the client and the individual, and we'll be talking in the course about how do you begin to identify your soul archetype, is it explains ourself, you know, it explains us. And so those 7 are unique, they're uniquely different, and they are all important, but they have a characteristic nature.
To maybe kind of make it a little more specific, could you give an example, maybe perhaps your own soul archetype?
Sure. It helped me to understand me years ago when I figured it out. So I am what you would call number 3, the 3rd soul archetype. So I wondered years ago, and there is nothing required for people to have graduate education or college education, but you know, I went to college at the average age of an undergraduate, and you know, I finished a degree. Then I went on to grad school in a particular field and finished a master's in that degree. I got married, had my first child. Then I went back to school in a different field and you know, to get another degree, and then later, of course, went on to have more graduate work. But I wondered, why did I keep going to school? Or another way to explain it is, I'm never satisfied that I know enough about a topic. So if you walked into my office at home and you looked at the bookshelves, you'd see, well, there's a shelf on astrology, and well, there's a shelf on books related to soul archetype, and so on and so forth. So the third soul archetype is about melding knowledge, melding energy. It's also about cooperating knowledge. It's very simplistically, it's about cooperation. So it's like, oh, now I know why I went to school for so long.
That's fascinating. Well, I know you'll have a chance to go more into the all seven in your upcoming program, but I think it's great to just get a glimpse. I think one area that this also brings up is sort of, if you have a general pattern as a soul and kind of soul intentions, how can you use the past life information that you get as a way to empower your current life purpose now? So to really draw from successes or skills, if you will, that you've developed in other lifetimes.
Well, I think sometimes people are surprised. You know, they might say, well, you know, I really always wanted to take that art class, but I don't have any skills in art. But I've always been fascinated with, you know, studying Renoir or studying Monet or whoever it might be. As an example, many people discover their fascination with an era of time, their fascination with a particular area of study, or a famous person, not necessarily that they were the famous person, but that it ties to their past lives. It also, we can learn from our past lives about fears that are unexplained, physical issues in our current life that are remnants of past lives, that when we understand what happened in the past life in terms of the physical trauma, we can release it. So I find great explanation. For me, as an example, I've had past lives in the field of performance in music. I've always had this, all the way through school until I was a senior in high school, I sang in the choir. I loved singing in the choir. But I never understood until I discovered these past lives of, you know, relatively speaking, accomplished, you know, performance as a singer. That's never been a part of my current life, literally. But because I know about that past life, it explains my fascination and my interest. I feel passionate about younger people who have these amazing musical skills. Those usually come from past lives.
That's fascinating. Well, so look on the other side, and so look at how do we identify more of the karmic patterns, sort of like when we've got things that really aren't working in our life, like how do we start to tease out what might be karmic and then get access to how do we then begin to resolve those karmic patterns?
Well, you know, without knowing what the karmic issue is from a past life, we don't really know what to work on. And you know, as a psychologist, for me, and years back when I was a general psychologist and I wasn't closed off to understanding reincarnation, I just had no occasion or reason to learn about it. As you would imagine, as a psychologist, I just assumed that whether it was my issues or issues the client was working on, that they were tied primarily to current life, and that we could resolve them by digging more deeply into our current life, our relationships with our families, our parents, our losses in current life. And even for me as a psychologist, at times I would get upset with myself about the issue of not being able to resolve something that might cause me some anxiety or some worry. when we understand our past lives, then what we just simply cannot find logical explanation for in current life, we find logical explanation in past lives, and then it's much easier to release the emotion, the physical symptom, the relationship issue, because there's explanation. It's not just something floating without, you know, grounding and understanding.
Mm-hmm. And how do we use, so I know you work a lot with regression, but I also feel like in developing our intuition is really key so that we can begin to intuit some of these connections and start to be able to rely on that outside of even a regression state.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it interesting how often, even for me, when a regression client comes in, and the vast majority of people automatically assume that if we're intuitive and if we're receiving intuitive input, that clairvoyance is the means, that intuitive input always comes through mental pictures. And honestly, that's not at all true. Some of us are clairvoyant, and are that's a sensory ability that we're skilled with. But there are approximately four other intuitive skills that we will work with in the course. And I found in the 7-week course, people needed much more time to effectively expand their understanding of their own skills that work more effectively than others. So some people are skilled with visual image. Some people receive their intuitive input through emotion. They begin to feel emotion, and in the case of a regression, they're picking up on the emotion of the regression scene. But other people can feel the emotion of others in their life, and they're becoming almost an intuitive sponge. They can separate that apart. Or there could be an event happening in their life, and they're feeling an emotion, but they don't know why. So they're being intuitively what we call clairsentient. Some people are clairsomatic. If there is an issue in their life that they're not dealing with, they may feel physical symptoms. Or in a regression, a client at times will feel the past life event that was physical. They'll feel it in their current life body, in the same area of the body, not necessarily to the same degree as was literally happening in the past life. So sometimes we're clairvoyant, sometimes we're clairsentient, sometimes we're clairsomatic, meaning body, sometimes we're clairaudient, probably most people know what that means. And then lastly, Stephen, and this is the one I had to learn about for myself, is that a lot of people don't recognize, most of us are also capable of being claircognitive, which means we receive intuitive input, past life, perhaps from our spiritual guides, and we'll be covering that deeply in the course. We receive it through thought, and we think we're making up those thoughts, but it's an intuitive sensory ability.
Fascinating. Well, let's go into, and there's some other terrain that I want to also cover today, and that has to do with things that we have, perhaps health issues. It connects to what you're saying, is that we can feel in our body sometimes where there's a connection to the past. And how do sometimes our health issues relate to karmic issues from the past?
So at times we have a health issue that is representative or tied to a health issue in a past life. And where we didn't release the trauma in the past life, where perhaps we're still, let me back up an extra step. So as a soul, we have, and even when we're a soul in body, we have what you might call cellular memory, or what, again, I sometimes call soul memory code. So if I was harmed in a past life in a particular part of my body, perhaps harmed, or perhaps it was a mortal type of wound, then that physical symptom can show up in my current life. And once I understand what it is, I can release it. But it's cell memory from lifetime to lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. And let's also circle back to how does this relate to the you brought up guides earlier, and we haven't really gone deeper into that, the role of our guides in designing and planning our life and also kind of guiding it as it's unfolding.
Yes. So we always have guides. We are never without spiritual guidance. Again, this was another piece that came up in the 7-week course that I very much wanted to have time to dive, you know, deeper into it. So all of us have guides, and we can learn how to connect with our guides. We can learn how to receive input from our guides. That input goes back to intuition that we talked about just a second ago, goes back to trusting our visual, our emotions, our body, our auditory senses, and our claircognition or our intuitive thoughts. Our guides are always there. They never leave us. We're the ones as humans that either disbelieve that guides exist, or we just simply forget to take time to turn to our guides and seek input. And another way, an additional way to talk about this is that our guides will lead us forward in our current life if we trust that our guides are there to do that. They will put experiences in front of us. They'll put people on our path. They'll put, you know, books, courses, a new job opportunity on our path. Those are often our guides, but we need to learn to trust and comprehend how to connect with and acknowledge our guides' input.
Well, it brings up probably an issue for some people around how much, you know, they don't want to just feel like they're being puppeteered as well. It's like, that are the guides actually exerting control, or where does our free will come in relationship to this, the work of the guides?
Yeah, perfect question, because we know, I'll just say I know that we do plan our lives before we come into body. And again, as you said, our guides are present. So free will never, ever, ever goes away. Our guides cannot force us to do anything. Our life plan is something we can go against if we choose. So there's nothing that we don't, you know, we always have the power to opt for a choice ourselves. We're not... maybe I'll just put it in terms of, you know, there's a difference between Western spiritual and religious thought and Eastern spiritual and religious thought. And so I am not anti-religion in any way, but we often are taught, especially in the Western part of our globe, that there's a sense of punishment if you don't do something correctly. Spiritual guides don't operate that way. Spiritual guides are benevolent, not malevolent, but we're also taught I think we're taught some level of fear on earth about that. So we always have free will. It's sitting right in front of us to choose if that's what we wish.
Great. Let's go even further. I think people are fascinated by this terrain and some of the between life work as well. So maybe share a little bit about what does the journey between lives look like, and how do we sort of then, you know, you talked a little bit about the kind of being in incubating a new lifetime, and just talk a little bit more about how that unfolds.
Well, when our soul is not incarnate, and again, I start to talk and I realize maybe it's clearer. Let me back up an extra step again. When we finish a life, what caused us to be alive, and this may be obvious to everyone, but just to lay a basic groundwork, when we finish a life, our soul has this almost autopilot, sort of automatic ability and knowledge of how to step out of the body at the ending of a life. So we have brought, you might say, when we come into body at birth, we bring a slice, I think of it as a pie. We bring a slice of the pie that in totality is our soul. And when we die, that slice of the pie returns back to the whole or back to our higher self. In guiding regression, I've learned a lot about understanding our higher self and understanding how we operate at the soul level. So as a soul, we basically have the ability to plan our lives. As a soul, we also have responsibility. You know, I have a lot of clients that come in and they'll say, "Oh, Linda, I came to learn more about myself as a soul, but I know or I hope this is going to be my last incarnation. I want to be done. I don't want to come here any longer to Earth because it's hard on Earth." Mm-hmm. And but what I know is that at the soul level, we have responsibility. The spiritual realm is not a place where we sit around and, watch movies and, eat pizza or whatever. We have responsibility there, but it's also a place where we plan. It's a place where we spend time within our soul pod. Then we are basically required to continue evolving. And as our soul needs to evolve, we grow to the point that we become guides, in fact. Yeah.
That's fascinating. So the real arc is that we are supposed to essentially take this higher station over time. So we graduate from, it's like graduating from elementary school into high school or junior high, perhaps.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally true. And I think that also relates, and this will be a piece in the upcoming intensive course, that we need to understand that when we're in body, we are responsible for our own life, our own soul's progress. We also have the ability to contribute to the evolution and the changes in humanity that are so needed. So I'll talk a little bit more about that before we finish today, but that's crucial.
Let's share a little bit more about relationships. So you mentioned that we have to take responsibility for how things are unfolding, and a lot of ways that really plays out is relationships. So we can get frustrated with all, dysfunctional or challenging relationships in our family or elsewhere, but, how would you see that from a more soul evolution perspective?
Well, first I'd say we come into body as a student and we come into body as a teacher. So we come into relationships, no matter what type of relationship it is, family, friend, romantic, whatever it might be. And some relationships lean more in the direction of we're the student and we're learning. But sometimes, example, of course, I have a lot of clients and people that want to understand, they'll say, "Really, Linda, I chose my mother, I chose my father? Well, I wonder how I made those choices." Sometimes we come into body with whoever it might be, mother, father, sibling, it could be best friend, whatever. Sometimes we're learning equal to how much we're teaching, but also, especially the more we evolve as a soul, sometimes we're teaching in certain relationships more than we're learning. And that does show up a lot in my experience with the work that I do with our parents, that at times we came in to teach them more than we were to learn from them.
That's a very interesting reversal, and very illuminating. Well, I'd love for you to share, And maybe a story or two. I feel like some of these concepts really get illuminated. I loved what you shared earlier about the client you were working with earlier today, and just a story or two of how there's kind of a deepening understanding of some pattern or maybe a health crisis that then leads to a real breakthrough. So people get a sense for, as you do this deeper soul work and uncover the different layers, what can shift as a result?
Yeah, boy, so many stories. A gentleman comes to my mind who I worked with recently, and this is a man in his early 70s. He had a successful career. He's retired. He's been married a very long time. His marriage is okay, but as he described his marriage to me, you know, we might say it's a little bit flat. It's sort of like his wife does her thing and he does his thing. And people keep pushing him in his, he has good health, so he has plenty of years seemingly in his life. They keep pushing him to find something to do with his time that really is fulfilling to him, especially since the work that he did before he retired was okay, but he never really loved his work. So he goes to a past life automatically as I guide him. And it's actually the time period doesn't matter, but it is in Roman times. Just people might be interested, you know, various time periods that we access past lives. And his life, the regression, he's a man. He's very detached. He's a man of some position with more than average wealth, but he never engages. He never engages in life. He never connects. He doesn't really connect with people. And ultimately, he passes. He's harmed by a group of people that don't understand him and feel that his sort of standoffishness is, they're bothered by the fact that he has very accomplished means, but he never really gives back, et cetera, et cetera. When we finished the regression and we began to discuss this, the message that his guides were passing to him by virtue of shedding light on the past life is essentially that in life today, he's still detached. He, you know, went to work, came home, went to work, came home. Didn't really emotionally engage with his wife. He's a reasonable partner, but not really deeply connected. And he realized he was bored, bored with current life. And that his guides, basically by showing him this particular life, were showing him that, one, he was harmed for being avoidant of people. And it's almost like he had been afraid in current life to really allow himself to explore his interests, his passions, some direction perhaps he'd never gone in his life, no matter what that, you know, what that might be. And the past life seemed to give him permission to stop being so detached and engage more with people.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, that's really illuminating. Thank you so much for that story. I'm realizing we just have like a few, we're kind of running a little low on time, and we have one area that people are really intrigued about and we want to make sure we get to, which is this notion that we may not have lived all of our lives on Earth and that there may be interplanetary mm-hmm. lives in our background as well. Mm-hmm. So let's just share a little bit about that so we make sure to cover it.
Okay, good. I'll be brief, but it's a big topic, and I honestly think in our current times on the Earth, it's a huge topic. So to make it as simple as I can, some of us have most of our lives on Earth. Some of us have most of our lives not on Earth. If we're a soul that I call an interplanetary soul, that has had most of our lives not on earth. And again, this comes from my work with clients. I certainly didn't, again, pull this out of the air intuitively. If we're an interplanetary soul, the bulk of our life experience has been not on earth in an evolved location. And so we bring high evolution with us. But when we come into body, at times we struggle with not fitting in. We struggle with health issues because working within the human body is unusual. Often autistic spectrum, ADHD, these are people that have just simply, they're extremely advanced souls that have beautiful gifts and skills, children and adults that have come to assist the earth to evolve, but in certain ways struggle to be in body. So it's important to understand the beauty and the value, whether it's someone discovering for themselves that they're an interplanetary soul, or they have perhaps a child that's an interplanetary soul.
Wow. Well, it just, the mind reels exploring that possibility. I know my brother often, when he got involved in some very deep soul explorations, he started to have glimpses of other planets, and I thought it was a little far out at the time, but you're helping to validate that. So that's really interesting.
Stephen, I'll just quickly add that years ago, this was a topic that I was sort of dancing around. So I totally understand what you're saying. And then I started having client after client after client who had lives elsewhere. Yeah.
Mm. Great. Well, you know, Linda, there's so much we could explore, and you're just a wealth of information and insight into this terrain. So I'm very excited that we get to have this upcoming program with you. So I want to spend a little time talking about that. It's first of all, it's called the Soul Evolution Intensive, Unveiling Your Past Lives to Heal, Clear Karma, and Fulfill This Life's Purpose. So that's really getting at the core, our core reasons for incarnating, and how do we release the karmic patterns from the past and really fulfill our purpose, which is another word for dharma. So you can find all the details at soulevolutionintensive.com, soulevolutionintensive.com. And we've really worked with Linda to create this as a very experiential program. It's going to be a six-month program, which gives you the time you need to do the deep inner work, to open your intuition, to perhaps do regressions, to really look at the patterns in your family and in your life, to do the investigative work internally that allows you to unveil these patterns to yourself, understand the larger context, and really transform them for the long haul. So this is it's a soul evolution intensive because it's not just about curious information. It's really about evolving your soul and seeing what you need to do to take the next steps. So this might manifest in understanding, you know, some of the more challenging dynamics in your family or with relationships or illnesses, and see those more as catalysts for bringing out your highest gifts and your highest dharma for the world. So we created this program partially because the seven-week program with Linda was extremely well received, and there was a lot of excitement to build upon this into a much more experiential deep dive journey and really harvest so much of the wisdom that Linda has developed over her 24 years of exploring this terrain. So it's going to be a six-month program, as I mentioned, and the course is going to be on Tuesdays at 5 Pacific time. And Linda, I'd love for you to share in your own words about the journey you're going to go on with people, and then take us on a tour of the modules and the steps of the journey.
Okay, perfect. Okay, well, module one, we begin with a foundation. We're going to go more deeply than the first course into basically what are the signs along the way of our current life. We can learn about our past lives and how our guides are leading us forward by examining our current life and what we might just say the high, what the hills and valleys are. So events that happen, people that come into our life, losses, health issues are all purposeful. So we're going to look at more deeply and much more slowly what is on your lifeline what I like to say is, why do good things happen to, why do bad things happen to good people? That's a funny way to put it. That's an old book title. So why do the events happen in your life? And especially in the first module, we're going to work much more deeply on intuition, because I found in the first course that there wasn't enough time to really deepen intuition, deepen not only how to sense, how to use your intuitive senses, but how to trust your intuitive senses. So we'll go much more deeply into that. Then module two is basically past lives. How do your past lives show up in your current life? How do you recognize them? How do you essentially embrace the karma? What happened? What might you have done differently? How do you embrace the Dharma? What did you accomplish that in life today you don't honor that you have ever accomplished? So we're going to be talking about higher self and how do you connect with your higher self and understand that you are a soul and body, both operating in your human form, but operating from your soul level at the very same time. And honestly, more preferably, and we'll work on this with a lot of experiential time, how to be operating more from your soul level than from your human level while you're in body. So that's module two. Module three is all about guides. Who are your guides? What are they like? Are they experienced teachers? Are they from the angelic realm? Are they loved ones? Is one of your main, if not, is your main guide your higher self? How do you know that? How do you connect with your guide? How do you recognize the events, the circumstances that your guides are sort of dropping right, like, you know, putting an experience as you're about to step forward? There's a new experience or a new person or an event or something that doesn't work. How do you understand what that is about? Module four, this module is to understand the afterlife. What literally happens when you die? Some people have had loved ones pass and they want to know, what's the experience? What occurs? And this is because I've guided clients through that process in regression many, many times over the course of many years. We're going to look at, are you a soul that has had the bulk of your lives on Earth? Are you a soul that has had the bulk of your lives not on Earth? Do you have a life partner, a child that has had most of their lives not on Earth? Why are you here? Why are they here? How do you help them remain in body and live their life purpose? Then number five is, what is your life plan? What did you intend to do and accomplish? And what did you intend to be? I always like to make sure we talk about not just human doing, but human being. Have you added on addendums? You can add addendums onto your contract. Why do you do that? How do you learn that? What about your free will? When are you using free will? When is it perfectly okay to use free will? So we'll talk about that. Obviously, experiential work all the way through the modules. Module six is soul archetype. Understanding these archetypes, spending time figuring out what is your core soul archetype and how to live that and bring that energy to the earth. So not only are you living your soul intention, you are assisting life on earth and bringing that energy, and the soul archetypes build on one another. So if you have a life partner or a good friend, what's their archetype? How do you interrelate more effectively with two perhaps very different archetypes, with a friend, a family member, a life partner? And then last but certainly for sure not least is module seven. How can Earth change? Why are we here? What is our responsibility? how can we really step up and be active participants on the planet? And that's part of fulfilling our life contract, because that is part of why we agree to come into body. So that's the package.
Well, it's truly a fascinating journey. And one of the things that's really been clear to me over time is that, while I've done tons of other spiritual practice, from meditation to yoga to breath work to psychotherapy, that the past life material provides a much deeper understanding of who we are and why we're here than anything else. It really is like it gives us the compass setting for our lives and really helps us to illuminate the deeper patterns of what's happening in our lives. So in that sense, I feel like just essential information for any of us who are committed to really blossom into the full beings we're capable of being in this lifetime. So I'll share a little bit more about the program with Linda. First, you get 19 90-minute class sessions, which are packed full of great information, but also you get the live interactive time with the Q&A and really getting a chance to also do small breakout groups that allow you to put things into practice and discuss further. You have weekly exercises and practices for inquiry and action learning at home. You have an online learning community and Facebook. You also get recordings and PDF transcripts of every single session, which is super valuable. And we also have a number of extra bonuses. One, we have a video with Linda on past lives and soul agreements in life today, something that's absolutely central. We talked about some on today's call, and this will go into in more depth, where you really have these contracts or soul agreements with each other and with yourself about what you're going to be doing in this lifetime, and that helps really illuminate the deeper story of your life. We also have a guided meditation from Linda on connect with your spiritual guide. So that's very, very central to this process of establishing a two-way channel of connection with our guides, which is usually happening subliminally or in dreams, but when you make it more explicit, it really helps move things along. We've also brought in another bonus that we thought would just be fascinating for those who want to explore this terrain, is from Stanislav Grof and Rick Tarnas, and that's use of archetypal astrology, also working with the deeper patterns of our psyche and reality that connects to, the patterns that we choose to incarnate with as well. And we also have an extra bonus, which is available until midnight on Saturday, July 1st, which is Saturday, July 1st, and that's $100 off. So we've kept the investment really accessible for this program. It's just $179 a month for 6 months, or it's $997 in full, and then you get the $100 off when you act by midnight on July 1st. So midnight, July 1st, that's your $100 off bonus. And then we really, really are going to have an amazing program here. So, Linda, I'd love for you, anything that we haven't shared yet about the program that you want people to know, just sharing from your heart.
Well, I guess I'll say, Stephen, that I love to teach. I have loved to teach. I always thought, even as a general therapist, in part, that was all about teaching. And as I've already said, so I know I'm repeating myself, I very much enjoyed teaching the 7-week course, the 7-module course. And yet I felt like as questions were coming in from the participants, there was so much more depth that we needed to go into, and time needed to focus on. People are obviously working on their personal issues, and that's the vast majority of the people who decide to take this type of course. And I wanted to go much deeper. So this is a course where there will be, of course, a lot of me sharing and teaching, but also it will be time to really work with, how can we strengthen intuition? How can we more deeply understand the signs along the way of our life, of which direction to go, and how to really be living our dharma and balancing our karma? So it'll give us a much greater opportunity to do a deeper dive into the whole topic of soul evolution.
Well, you can find all the details at soulevolutionintensive.com. It starts on July 18th, and sessions are going to be on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And I think it's good to go to the page and also just get a sense for the testimonials of people who have worked with Linda, because not only are eminent people like Hank Wesselman, Rabbi Zalman, Schachter Salomi big fans, there's just a lot of stories of real transformation that you can get from the testimonials. And I personally have done a regression session with Linda and found it super valuable and very insightful. So I highly recommend this work. It really gets you to the deepest levels of your being and really uncovers the deeper patterns so that we can master this life school and really not only graduate but also serve in making this planet what it's capable of being. So it's really essential work for us all to know our souls, know our soul's journey, to know the patterns from our past lives, and to be able to heal them and move forward in a really clear and aligned way. So again, you can get all the details at soulevolutionintensive.com. Again, that's soulevolutionintensive.com. And encourage you to go over right away and sign up now, since you get the $100 off when you sign up now. So thank you, Linda. It's been an illuminating and beautiful hour again. You're always a delight to learn from. So thank you for this time, and thank you for offering the Soul Evolution Intensive.
Stephen, thank you so much. It's totally my pleasure.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Linda, and thank you all. Look forward to seeing many of you in the upcoming program and continuing this powerful journey of deep soul work. So thank you all, and have a beautiful day. Bye now.